You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast right now, as always, and giving me a little bit of your time to talk some good, healthy sports talk. Man, I hope everybody had a great week, man. It's winding down. Christmas is next week. I keep hearing everybody say, man, Christmas is next week on Twitter, Instagram. Christmas is next week, people. It's on the 25th every single year. That date has not changed. Get out there, get to shopping. I know a lot of people waited to the last minute, but hey, man, you still got a good bit of time left, so you could go out there and get your gifts, man, and make sure that you get them wrapped in time before next Saturday comes around, man. So I hope everybody has been enjoying this time. I hope you have your decorations up, your trees and everything like that, stockings, your wreaths, your Christmas lights, man. Just enjoy this time, man, and have fun during this season, man. Holiday season is a beautiful thing, and I'm excited. I'm just about done with my Christmas shopping. I have about a couple more gifts left to go, which I should be done with that in the next day or two. So I'll be able to get my stuff wrapped just in time and get it under the tree, man. So if you guys don't hear from me, man, happy and Merry Christmas to each and every one of my listeners right now. But hey, man, let's talk some sports now, man. Now that I got that out of the way, man, we had a huge shakeup, man, in college football recruiting, man. And I don't know if you guys were paying attention. I hope you were. But we had some history that was made in the recruiting in college football, man. And what I mean, man, Travis Hunter, the number one recruit in the class of 2022, commits to Jackson State over Florida State, man. Yes, this was a huge shakeup in recruiting, man. And we're going to dive deeper into this decision that Travis Hunter made. And we're going to discuss, you know, the impact that this decision has to go to an HBCU, the impact that this has on college football recruiting going forward. So let's look at Travis Hunter, man, and run down this entire thing and how it turned out. So, again, like I mentioned, man, Travis Hunter was the number one ranked recruit in the 2022 class. He's a cornerback slash wide receiver, 6'1", 165 pounds, out of Collins Hill High School here. And he's actually from Sewanee, Georgia. So Hunter was highly recruited by Florida State. Experts actually had him at an 85% lock to sign with Florida State. And this because he had been committed to Florida State for some time. March of 2020, to be exact. That's how long he's been committed to Florida State. So on Wednesday, there was a change. Hunter flipped his commitment from Florida State to Jackson State, becoming the first five-star high school football prospect to sign with an FCS team since ESPN started his rankings in 2006. Again, man, this was huge. History was made on Wednesday, man, of this week. And wow, you know, what a turn of events, man. Having a guy like Travis Hunter being committed to your program at Florida State, and having Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, man, come in and snatch this recruit from his alma mater, Florida State, man. What a huge turn of events. And so let's talk more about this, man. So how did Deion Sanders flip Hunter from his alma mater, Florida State? You know, Coach Prime, he's a Hall of Fame defensive back. You know, he did tease that he was going to pull off something historic before the early signing period began. And who knew that it was going to be number one recruit in the nation, Travis Hunter? Now, Sanders did lead Jackson State to their first SWAC title since 2007, last month, when they defeated Alcorn State 24-10 in the championship game. And Hunter was actually visiting and in attendance for that game. So me personally, man, I believe that Deion Sanders, he did an outstanding job, an exceptional job of communicating with Travis Hunter. And, you know, really getting him to see the bigger picture. Sanders really showed Hunter how he could make history and change the narrative in college football for years to come. You know, I know that this was obviously a tough decision initially for Hunter, but I think that, you know, actually being on campus there at Jackson State, being surrounded by that tradition that they have there on that at the university, and, you know, learning about their values and seeing the culture, you know, that helped him make the right decision. And a lot of people have a lot to say about Hunter's decision to go to an HBCU. And I find that very funny and very disturbing, because, you know, there's a lot of people going around like, man, why would he do this? Why would he choose Jackson State over Florida State? But why not? You know, there's been this narrative in college football where Power Five schools have become, you know, the place that you have to make your decision if you're a highly recruited athlete out of high school, you know, and that's not the case. You know, there's a lot of great universities and HBCUs that athletes have an opportunity to go to. And I think that this decision that Hunter made, it actually it helped change what we're going to see going forward, you know, and we're going to dive a little bit more deeper into that in just a second. But the wildest thing about this whole situation to me personally is the fact that Deion Sanders actually wanted to coach Florida State, but they turned him down. You know, and what better way to show Florida State that they made a huge mistake by turning around and taking away their number one recruit, the number one recruit in college football, coming out of high school, man. And they made a huge mistake. And now Coach Prime can say, I told you so. Look at what I'm building. Look at what I'm doing here at Jackson State, a university where a lot of people were wondering why would he go to Jackson State. I mean, me personally, I wondered that too. You know, out of all of the places he could have coached, you know, why Jackson State? And, you know, he gets his son to get over there to Jackson State with him. And we see what he's done over the last 2 years, man, just building his program and getting them to that SWAC title. You know, that's this huge accomplishments that Deion has been able to do, man, and really built the confidence in his team and get, you know, this program, just get them alive again, you know, bring that spark back to Jackson State. I mean, he has everybody in Mississippi buzzing, you know, about Jackson State, and stands are being packed out and sold out, man. And it's a great sight to see. And you got to take your hat off to what Deion has done with this football program and turning it around the way that he has over these 2 years. And let's look at, you know, the impact, you know, so how much of an impact does Hunter's decision have? You know, I think this changes the landscape of college football recruiting going forward. Like I already mentioned before, man, this is a huge shift. I think highly ranked recruits, you know, they can now have more confidence to step outside the box and outside of the norm and, you know, and make history by committing to HBCUs. You know, the narrative that HBCUs aren't the places where star athletes should be, you know, that's beginning to change, you know, and it's getting to a situation, excuse me, like I said, you know, why not Jackson State? Why not Southern, Alabama A&M, Grambling, Alcorn, Alabama State, Tennessee State, Arkansas Pine Bluff, Mississippi Valley State, Texas Southern, Prairie View, FAMU, Bethune-Cookman? Why not HBCUs? You know, those schools get looked at, you know, and they get pushed to the side and you know, beneath Power Five schools. But again, man, there's a lot of rich history and tradition and the culture, you know, that, you know, these athletes can really come in and make an impact and also attract other star athletes to come, you know, to these schools as well, man. I think it's a great thing. And me personally, you know, I went to a PWI, University of Alabama, but, you know, I am excited and happy to see, you know, a shift that we're starting to see and what I think will be a huge shift over the next few years. You know, you won't just have, you know, five-star athletes just stacked up at one, you know, Power Five school. They'll be able to, you know, take their talents elsewhere and be able to be confident in going into these universities and knowing that, you know, hey, I can go shine at these universities too and still have a great opportunity to make it to the NFL. And I think that's what it's all about. Really and truly, that narrative that was made is the fact that, you know, you have a better opportunity of getting to the NFL and making it to the bigger stage if you're attending a Power Five school. When in reality, a lot of players that are in the Hall of Fame came from HBCUs. You know, you look at Jerry Rice, Walter Payton, you know, some notable names that have come from HBCUs. And there's many more obviously out there, but those are just two that, you know, that first two that came to mind. But, you know, that narrative, man, is changing. And I'm happy to be able to witness history like that was made, and to see that we're gonna see a positive, and this is a positive thing, man. This is a positive shift. And so anybody who has anything negative to say about it, man, I really don't have much to say to you. If you can't find the good in what we're seeing right now, man. So let's look at Travis Hunter's, you know, scouting report, and then I'll tell you what he had to say after he made his decision to attend and sign with Jackson State. So Travis Hunter, his scouting report, generational type of talent, legitimately a cornerback one and wide receiver one for the class of 2022. Smooth, explosive, competitive, makes everything he does look extremely easy. At times, it seems like he's a human cheat code, as he's always making the highlight reel play at the right time. And just to look at his high school stats, over 3,600 receiving yards, 46 touchdowns, and 19 interceptions, man. What a high school career that was. And you see it on the tape of what he was able to do while at Collins Hill. And again, that was his scouting reporting. Just to give you what Travis Hunter had to say after he made his decision. And before I get into his actual statement that he said, I thought it was so funny, you know, when he got up there and I was able to watch the video where, you know, he gets up there and he puts on the Georgia hat, and he tosses the Georgia hat across the room, and he puts on a Florida State hat and says it fits so good, it takes it off and tosses it across the room, and everybody's going crazy. And then he unzips his jacket where you see the shirt that says Believe, and somebody from the crowd tosses him the JSU hat with the J on it. He puts it on and everybody's going crazy, man. And that was a great sight to see. And, you know, I had the opportunity, like I said, see the video. If you haven't seen it, pull it up. It's pretty cool. And so after this decision, Travis Hunter had to say the following. He said, Florida State has always been a beacon for me. I grew up down there. That's where my roots are. And I never doubted that I would play for the Seminoles. It's a dream that is hard to let go of, but sometimes we are called to step into a bigger future than the one we imagine for ourselves. For me, that future is at Jackson State University. Jerry Rice, Doug Williams, and of course the legend, JSU's owner, Walter Payton. Historically, black colleges and universities have a rich history in football. I want to be a part of that history and more. I want to be a part of that future. I'm making this decision so that I can light the way for others to follow, making it a little easier for the next player to recognize that HBCUs may be everything you want and more. An exciting college experience, a vital community, and a life-changing place to play football. I look forward to working with the iconic Deion Sanders and especially with my fellow Tigers. Along with Coach Prime, they have made me feel like I'm already part of the team, like I'm home. And I can't wait to welcome the next class of top athletes into the family of HBCUs. So, man, what a powerful statement by Travis Hunter, man. And again, that says it all and what everything and really speaks on everything that I was saying earlier, man. Just being a part of the tradition, being that person that could step up and be that one to set that new trend and give these athletes confidence to be able to make decisions like these, man. And, you know, hats off to Travis Hunter. I wish him much success in his collegiate career and in his career going forward, man. And definitely going to continue to watch and follow him as he's at, you know, throughout his years at Jackson State. So let's move on, man. Let's talk NBA right now, man. So we had more history, man. history just all around us, man. I love it. In the NBA, man, Steph Curry breaks Ray Allen's record and becomes the new all-time leader in threes made, man. So let's talk about this right now, man. Steph Curry, again, on Tuesday, he was able to break Ray Allen's record, man. Previously was 2,973. On Tuesday night, on the road, Madison Square Garden, Steph Curry broke it with his second, I'm going to say the second three-pointer that he made. So Curry now has 2,977 threes made after that game was over. And he's going to get, in my opinion, I think he's going to get over 3,000 before this season is over, easily. Ray Allen's mark of 2,973 threes made in the regular season was from 1996 to 2014. So that's an 18-year span. So in Curry's 12th year in the NBA, he was able to surpass him. Which is truly special, man. And I was able to witness that, man. I had the game on, and I was looking away for just a second. I happened to look back at the TV right when, you know, Steph was shooting the ball, man. And to see it go through at all net, that was great, man. And they stopped the game, and he got a chance to go over and hug Ray Allen and get a picture with him, and Ray Allen gave him some words, obviously of encouragement and congratulating him on this huge milestone in his career. And, you know, after the game, you know, he had Reggie Miller there. It was a lot of stars in attendance, a lot of celebrities that were in attendance for that game. And I'm pretty sure every other NBA player would have wished to have been there if they didn't have a game to be played that same night. I would imagine every player in the NBA would have wanted to be in attendance for that. But, you know, Steph Curry, you know, he's truly the greatest shooter that the NBA has ever seen, man, hands down. We've just never seen a shooter like this. A guy who, when he steps 1 foot across half court, you have to respect the fact that he can knock that shot down from anywhere on the basketball court. Even beyond half court. And we've seen him do it just time and time and time again, year after year after year. It seems like he can't shock or amaze us anymore. And he does, and he finds a way to do it every single time, man. And just to be able to do this at this stage in his career, in his 12th year, is just something that's huge, and something that's definitely going to go down in the history books, man. And I think that, you know, with him being able to lead the Warriors right now and have those guys number one in the West, we're actually tied for first in the West with the Phoenix Suns right now with the 23-5 record. But, you know, doing what he's doing without Klay and without James Wiseman, man, and they're soon to return. I would assume in the next, you know, shortly. Actually, Klay is planning to return, you know, around Christmas time, which is coming up. So we'll see, man. They've been cleared and he's been practicing and stuff like that. So, you know, and Wiseman should be coming hopefully pretty soon as well. So we'll get to see them at full force and see what they're able to really do. But I mean, even without those two guys, man, the Warriors have been a force to be reckoned with, and a huge part of that is Steph Curry and what he's been able to do, and the confidence that he's been able to build in his teammates. And setting that example and setting the standard by what he does when he comes to work each and every day, each and every practice, and each and every game, man. So, again, huge congratulations to Steph Curry on breaking his record. And the new all-time leader. So, let's run through the top 10 right now. So, we have, again, Steph Curry, Ray Allen, Reggie Miller, James Harden, Kyle Korver, Vince Carter, Jason Terry, Jamal Crawford, Paul Pierce, and Dame Lillard, man. Those are your top 10 all-time three-point leaders in the regular season. So let's move on, man. Let's talk college football, man. And let's look at some of the most intriguing bowl game matchups in college football outside of, you know, the college football playoff. Again, you know, obviously we know we got Bama and Cincinnati matching up and Georgia and Michigan matching up. But let's look at some of the matchups outside of that. And I'll give you my, you know, thoughts on a few of these ball games. I'm not going to make picks just yet. Again, just going to wait till we get a little bit closer. I'll probably, what I'll do for you guys next week, I'm going to make my picks for sure because, yeah, I have to make my picks next week. So I'll give you guys my final picks next week. But right now, again, I'm just going to name the bowls that are intriguing me the most and just going to tell you guys my thoughts on these upcoming matchups. So first, man, let's look at the Fiesta Bowl. You got number 9, Oklahoma State versus number 5, Notre Dame. Notre Dame is actually opening this game as a 2-point favorite. And you got Oklahoma State, man, coming off that tough loss in the Big 12 championship game against Baylor. Man, they were nearly inches away from being able to win that game, but just couldn't quite stretch out and get to the end zone. The Baylor defender actually took a pretty good angle in Oklahoma State. Back he was running, man. He tried to stretch it out, but he just couldn't get there, man. And it's just a heartbreaking way to lose, but it was a pretty good game all around. Really cranked up in the fourth quarter. So, and you got. So you got that with Oklahoma State. So how are they going to be able to bounce back, from having such a heartbreaking loss? And, you know, if they would have won that game, they would have very well had a strong case to get the fourth and final spot in the college football playoff over Cincinnati. A lot of people, disagree, of course, with Cincinnati going undefeated. But you look at an Oklahoma State team, and had they have won, they would have had two back-to-back top 10 wins plus a conference championship game. The strength of schedule would have been stronger. They would have had that conference championship. I know Cincinnati has a conference championship too, but their best win, being against Notre Dame, that is a solid quality win, but that was their strongest win. And Notre Dame ended up being number 5 in the nation, so that actually turned out really well for them because Notre Dame continued to win throughout the year. So but again, I felt like Oklahoma State, having that on their resume, that would have put the committee in a tough situation. But I think that they probably would have went with Oklahoma State over Cincinnati had they have won that Big 12 championship game. And then you got Notre Dame, with all the news surrounding them, Chip Kelly leaving to take the job over at LSU right when they're, having right before, the bowl season is getting ready to begin. He leaves. So, obviously there's some distraction there. So how are they going to come out in this game as well? So just those are my thoughts on that matchup. And then let's look at the Sugar Bowl. You got number 7 Baylor versus number 8 Ole Miss. They actually come out even in this game, which is pretty interesting. Both of these teams have really good offenses, and they're both, like I said, the line is even in this game, so you don't know what could happen. But I think that with the way that Lane has been able to have these guys playing on the offensive end, you got Matt Corral, he's been balling all year, was in the Heisman talks before losing, he started to fall after losing that head to head against Bryce Young. When they traveled to Tuscaloosa, but they still have an electrifying offense led by Lane Kiffin, and I think that he's gonna this is gonna be a great game. I think this is gonna be one of the best games out of the bowls, just to see how these teams will fare. And I think that it's definitely could turn into a shootout. I mean, the line in this game, the over under is 54.5. So we'll see what happens, man. But I definitely think we're gonna get a high scoring game, and I'm pulling for the SEC in these bowls. Obviously want to see the SEC succeed in these huge bowl games. So we'll see what happens there, man. And again, they're coming off that they're coming into this bowl game. Baylor is with confidence after being able to hold off Oklahoma State and get that huge victory. So again, we'll see what happens. Let's look at next, the Citrus Bowl. So you got the Citrus Bowl, number 15 Iowa versus number 22 Kentucky. Kentucky actually opens as a 3-point favorite in this game. You look at a team like Iowa, they just are just coming off getting blown out and destroyed in a Big Ten championship game against Michigan, 42-3. At one point in the season, you know, they were up in the top four in the rankings and lost, you know, lost a few games and fell in the rankings, obviously. And they are where they are right now and didn't finish that year off in the regular season how they wanted. They did want to play spoilers to Michigan, but that was not going to happen, man. Michigan was coming in with all the confidence in the world after knocking off Ohio State for the first time in a long time. So, especially Harbaugh's first time. He's 1-6 now against Ohio State. And you got Kentucky, man. Kentucky, they finished 9-3 in the SEC this year. They did have a signature win against Florida Gators. They were number 10 at the time. So, you know, Kentucky is a tough team. Their record, you know, obviously with having three losses wasn't satisfying, and you know, for them this year. But they did finish, you know, in the top 25, and they did show that, you know, they're a team that has a lot of fight. So we'll see what happens there and how they both of these teams come out and who wants it more to finish off their season in a strong way. And last but not least, man, I'm looking at the Rose Bowl. You got number 11 Utah versus number 6 Ohio State. Ohio State is opening as a 6.5-point favorite in this matchup. You look at Utah, man. This is a team that they're coming off a really, really good year, man. Blowing out Oregon not once but twice. Second time being in a Pac-12 championship game. You know, first time they had them come into their house on the road during the regular season where they spoiled Oregon's dreams, man, and knocked and upset them while they were ranked highly in the top four. I want to say they were number 2 or 3 at the time they were three or four when Utah knocked them off. But you know, looking at this team, man, Utah is being one of those teams that they've been having pretty good defenses. One of the better defenses in the Pac-12 over the last few years. How are they going to fare against an Ohio State team with an electrifying offense led by C.J. Stroud? You know, and then you got Chris Olave in the rest of the game there. And they have a solid running game as well. So how is Utah's defense going to be able to contain that high-powered offense that Ohio State has? So that's going to be an interesting thing to see, man. And then you got, you know, on the other side, Ohio State coming off, you know, a disappointing loss, getting blown out against a team like Michigan, you know, a team that they've had their number over the past, oh my gosh, 5+ years. And, you know, they weren't able to get it done, unfortunately, in trying to make that run at a college football playoff appearance. So how are they going to come out? How's Ryan Day going to have those guys, you know, coming into this game, and how are they going to finish off this season? So we'll pay attention to that. But those are my most intriguing bowls that I'm going to be excited to watch. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of bowl games coming on, man. They actually started like today. So from now up until the new year, we're going to have a lot of bowl games, man. So we'll continue to just, you know, lock in and watch what happens, man. And I'm just excited around this time, as always, to see some good football being played. So let's look at the NFL playoff picture. Let's move on and look at that. And let's talk about, you know, some surprise teams that could win it all, and also some potential Super Bowl matchups that people have been raving about that we could potentially see at the end of the year, man. So the NFL playoff picture right now, you got in the AFC, you got the Chiefs, the Patriots, the Titans, and the Ravens that round off your top four seeds. And then in the wild cards, you got the Chargers, the Colts, and the Bills. Now on the outside looking in, you have the Browns, Bengals, Broncos, and the Steelers. And in the NFC, you have the Packers, Bucks, Cardinals, and Cowboys that are rounding off your top four seeds. In the wild cards, you have the Rams, 49ers, and Washington. On the outside looking in, you have the Vikings, Eagles, Falcons, and the Saints. So some surprise teams that could win the Super Bowl this year. I'm looking at the Patriots. You know, you see what the Patriots have been doing, man, and how Bill Belichick has been able to really shape him old Mac Jones into the quarterback that he wants and needs him to be. You know, a mini Brady, and the way that they've been able to just beat teams like Buffalo, man. I mean, they threw three passes and ran the ball like 98% of the game and still won. Like, just to be able to do stuff like that, you know, and having a solid defense, it's just incredible to see what the Patriots have been able to do, you know, in a season where people felt like this could, you know, this obviously was a down year for them, but they flipped that and turned that around, and now they're sitting here with a playoff berth, you know, soon to clinch, and, you know, it's amazing what Bill Belichick has been able to do. And then you look at the Chargers, man. The Los Angeles Chargers, man, they had a great matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs on Thursday night, man. Obviously, they did not win that game. Lost it in overtime. The game was insane. But I think the Chargers left a lot of points on the board, man. With their refusal to use their kicker in that game, left about 12 to 15 points off the board. And it didn't really have to come down to the last few drives or overtime. They could have won the game by at least 10 to 13 points had they kicked field goals early on in that game. But again, they continue to go for it on fourth down. I think they finished about two of six on fourth down. But three or four of those tries where they missed, they were in the red zone where they could have taken the points. But, you know, it is what it is. But that was a great matchup, man. One that could be a potential AFC championship matchup, man. So we'll pay attention to that. But the Chargers are a team, man. You know, you look at what Justin Herbert is doing in his second year, how he's been playing, and the confidence that he's had, you know, throwing the football has been amazing, you know. And he's able to get out of the pocket and make huge plays, not only with his arm, but with his legs as well. And they have a solid running game, and defense is pretty solid as well. You know, we'll definitely pay attention to the Chargers. I don't think that's a team that you can sleep on. And then I'm going with the Cowboys. You know, the Cowboys would be a surprise team just because of the simple fact that, you know, the Cowboys come in, they have these seasons where they're doing really good, and they're expected to make a run, and then they lay an egg in the playoffs. So for them to make a run and win the Super Bowl, that would be a surprise. For me, just because of what we've seen, you know, over the years, especially with Tony Romo, you know, only having one playoff win over in his career. And then you got, you know, the other runs that they made where they've had really good seasons, but it just disappears, you know, and they get in the playoffs and just they disappear. So if they're going to do it, man, what better time to do it than now, man? You know, that defense is being led by Michael Parsons, man. He's running around making a lot of plays, and coming up big for this defense. And you know, and you got Dak Prescott, CD, and those guys, man. Zeke been playing really, really well on the offensive side of the ball, and Amari Cooper when he's healthy. You know, they've been able to score and put up some points on the board. So we'll see what happens. But again, those are my three surprise teams that could win the Super Bowl. Again, the Patriots, the Chargers, and the Cowboys. Now let's look at potential Super Bowl matchups that people have been talking about. So you got the Chiefs, the Packers. That could be a matchup of the very first official Super Bowl. Again, that was the Chiefs and the Packers back with Vince Lombardi and the guys. So and Bart Starr. So that's a matchup that could happen. You got the Chiefs and the Bucks. That could be a round two matchup. So we'll see what happens there. Chiefs, Cowboys, Patriots, and the Packers. That's a rematch of a Super Bowl back in the day too. Brett Favre actually won the Super Bowl, his first Super Bowl, well, only Super Bowl in that matchup. Then you got the Patriots and the Cowboys. That's an interesting matchup right there. Chiefs and the Rams, high power offenses. and solid defenses. That would be a good one. Patriots, Rams, that's a rematch. Again, now the last one wasn't that good because it was like 10-0 here in Atlanta. It was the worst Super Bowl that I personally have ever seen. You know, it was just slow, boring. It just, I don't know, man. It just did not turn out really well. But the matchup before that, you know, you had to drive. You had the greatest show on turf with the Rams with Marshall Faulk and Kurt Warner. You had Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce, and those guys. And then you had Tom Brady coming in and as underdogs, and they were able to put together that final drive. And Adam Vinatieri was able to seal the deal and kick the field goal and give, you know, Tom Brady and those guys their first Super Bowl win. And then you look at, last but not least, the Patriots and the Bucks. So that's a matchup that would be, you know, huge. You got Tom Brady going to up against Bill Belichick for all the marbles, man. That would be crazy to see. It's time to you know, really buckle down and see what happens, man. Because this is getting into crunch time, man. We got a few weeks left in the season, and I want to say it's about four weeks left in the regular season before we, you know, get into playoff play. So, man, just excited to see how this stuff turns out. There are still a lot of teams alive to make a run and to get a wild card spot. You know, like I said, those teams who are on the outside looking in, all hope isn't lost yet. You know, you got a lot of teams that have six, seven losses on their schedule, 5, 6, and 7 losses. So a lot can turn around in the last 4 weeks of the season. So we'll continue to, man, pay attention to it. And going forward, and I'm excited because fantasy football playoffs has started, man. I had a strong first game so far. Justin Herbert gave me 26 points, so happy about that. So hopefully my team can continue to do their thing, and I can get this win in advance. So y'all root for me, man. Say a prayer for your boy for the fantasy football playoffs. But hey, man, that was all I have for you guys, man. I appreciate, as always, your time to sit with me and listen, and as I share a good, healthy sports talk, man, we have a good conversation together, man. And again, I appreciate all the support, all the love. Continue to rock with me again, man. I got some stuff that's new that's going to be coming up, man, in 2022. Excited about it. I've been brainstorming, so be on the lookout. Stay tuned. Again, keep rocking with your boy. I got some good stuff coming, man. Peace, blessings. Again, happy and Merry Christmas, early Christmas to everybody. And I wish you guys a great, great holiday and with family, and enjoy this time, man. So again, peace, be blessed. And as always, Roll Tide. I'm out.